There are often two sides to every story. There are a multitude of angles that we can take to see the same view, or maybe the same event, or for in a play, depending on where you're sitting at, you have a different view of the actors and the play. Or if you're at a scene of some event that happened, it's possible that everyone there will have a different tale to tell of what they saw. Some might see in more depth, some might see on the outside, but it all depends on our angle and the event that happens. But our recounting is going to vary on where we see things. And that those that are sharing their beliefs, what they saw, fully believe in their view of the events. And this is all okay. I mean, it's all good because we all have different angles and different perspectives, and that builds into beautiful harmony that we can relate and be open and to truly share our understandings. And to decipher what we might be hearing. And at times there might be a tension, other times it might help to actually relieve the tension, to hear and be open to hearing what each of us have. And often in the Gospels or other readings that we have, it comes down to interpretation and context. And context, as they taught us in seminary, is context is king. Context helps us understand and interpret where the scriptures and the writers are coming from, who lived in that time that the audience would be, and how that influenced their understanding of what they were hearing prophets and those coming to their community would read to them about this radical person, this the Son of God, this man who came down to save us and to write this new covenant. And historically, we look at the historical context, the historical understanding. All this builds into how we relate to the scriptures, how it's filtered, and how it changes or enhances our own understanding of God. And our own understanding changes and grows as our relationship with God becomes enriched and develops, that we in turn can share that passion and that joy that we have out to others. So we enter John during this Easter season. These next couple weeks through Easter, we focus on the Gospel of John, who's all about discovering and establishing our understanding of Christ's relationship with God, that true God from true God, that God sent the Word, and the Word was God and with God. So he's really trying to establish for the readers of the time and for us who this Christ person is in relationship, and how not only is God fulfilling the promises that he made to Abraham and his descendants, but the fulfillment of the law through Christ coming down and living out, even defeating, or not defeating, but being able to do those things that those before were unable to do. And how that truth, the truth of God through Christ, Christ through God, is filtered down into our own understanding and our own relationship. So we enter this Sunday into Nicodemus, who we hear scatterings about, this Jewish leader that came. I think he was even the one that was in the tree, wasn't he? About when he says, Nicodemus, come down. Maybe it might have been someone else. But Nicodemus is throughout the stories that we hear. Nicodemus is there when Christ is crucified and asks permission to lower him from the cross. So Nicodemus, he's in here and he's hearing all these things and he's witnessing this Christ that coming to his village. And he has questions. He has questions and wonderments. And so at nighttime, probably because he couldn't sleep, but it might have been another reason, he didn't want to be seen, he scurries across and he goes and finds Christ. And he asks him these questions that he has. And then Christ is adding new things to him. You must be born again of the Spirit. And he's like, how can I be born again? How has this happened? How is this possible? Christ develops and helps him see a little more of the light that is through the Spirit and water that you are born again. Again, Nicodemus is kind of puzzled because he's like, well, how does that happen? And Christ continually unravels this idea about being born of Spirit and water. And then we hear the verse that we are most familiar with, that for me, I was taught at a very young age to be able to quote verbatim whenever anyone asks me, what is John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And those words that we say, that when we hear John 3:16 and we say that for God so loved the world, it's a narrowing down, but then because we are called beloved children, that expands. It influences our understanding of who God is, who Christ is, how our relationship is tied in with that, and who that promise is made to. For God so loved the world. That to me is mind-blowing at times. That God came not only for you and me, but for all people. However they interpret that understanding, however they accept that gift freely given, depends on their interpretation and their own understanding. And for us, that knowledge God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And how that affects our own understanding. And for some, for me, it was a springboard. And I hope that as our understanding and our love of God is expanding, that our love for others becomes enriched also. And to look beyond the narrowing of John 3:16, that we are being joined with the Spirit in this journey that is only made possible through the Spirit that envelops and dwells within us, that we are tied together by our baptism, that we are journeying with the Holy Trinity through each and every one of our days, that we're returning to God to be washed anew each and every time that we come forward and dip our fingers in, or we partake in communion, or we enter, or we pray, all these different things that helps us to stay connected. And not only connected, but to be continually growing into whom God is calling us to be. God doesn't give us all these gifts and overwhelm us all at one time, but throughout our lives, we are continually changing and growing in to whom God is calling us to be, which is a beloved child of God, to be in the image of God, because we are made in the image. And how we are all connected through those baptismal waters with rebirth and renewal. So my questions that I came out from this text and from studying is, how might our own understanding of not only John 3:16 but the text of John 3 through 17, how we might understanding might change or be rearranged, that we see Christ shines in a new light on our understanding and of our relationship with God and the Trinity, with Christ and the Trinity, and how we might be called to listen and to be in tension in a healthy manner, viewing one another and possibly even the tension from a different angle, knowing that we are full and refilled with God's grace, that it's ever flowing through us and out of us to extend to others, along with God's love that indwells within us. And we are trustworthy as we are continually called towards Christ, and as we continually remember the baptismal promises made on our behalf are made from us to God. Amen.